Revelation 17, and I'm going to pick it back up with verse number 6. It says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Now, when you see that great admiration there, you go with the biblical way that that thing is saying, and not just, you know, we say, "Well, I admire so-and-so." He's looking at this thing like, what? When you wonder, you know, you wonder about it like, wow. I mean, can you imagine John being taken, seeing all these things? It would be a wonder. Why? Because we're going back to verse number 4. She's arrayed in purple and scarlet color and all this. The outside looks so great, but look how wicked. He's showing them how wicked the inside of this thing is. And the fact that so many people are deceived by it, and it's literally killing the saints of God. Well, y'all, I tell you something, a lot of beautiful things kill people today.
That's right.
Well, that's what it's going to be. I mean, it's going to be religion. It has to dress up. It plays like it's something it's not, and it goes by something other than the Word of God. And I tell you something, it literally, which I know this is a literal deer here, the blood of saints, and drunk by, it's literally intoxicated from the fact that it loves killing. And that's went on in history, and it's going to go on again. And if you want to get a taste of it, I mean, if you want to read a secular book, I encourage everybody to read Fox's Book of Martyrs and read how religion, it's not just one thing. It's all religion. They're killers. So that's why he's wondering here. In verse number 7, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns." So he gives them something just like back in Genesis. He gives him the vision to Pharaoh of the kind that got 7 years, and then it's given by dream, and then Joseph interprets it. Okay, that's what's going on here. He's showing him something, and he said, "Don't worry about it. I'm going to tell you what this is." That's why you have to keep reading in the Bible. Don't just stop with one verse and say, "Oh, okay, there it is. I'm just going to believe this right here." You have to keep reading and say, "Come on in here. We're glad to see you." So in verse number 8, he said, this is what it's going to be. "The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit." He just tells him, just as plain as day. Good to see you. Just as plain as day what it is. He's telling him, that's the beast. Okay. And it says, "out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition." Well, you know, the only person that's ever called or this perdition is connected with, Judas Iscariot is called the son of perdition. All right, and in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the Antichrist is called the son of perdition. So that spirit of Judas is literally going to be right there again, coming out and getting into that man, and it's going to be the son of perdition. Now, that's very interesting right there. I don't know if I'm going to go over these verses until I get to... I think I'll wait till I get a little bit later on. But you need to keep that in memory for later on in this chapter. "And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world." You've got to get that part right there. I didn't underline it in my Bible, but I'm going to. "From the foundation of the world." Now, I'm going to go over this today because this is very important, and you need to see this. When you see that phrase, "from the foundation of the world," I want you to turn 2 places in your Bible. Turn to Romans 16. Romans 16 and Acts chapter number 3, because you need to see these 2 programs in the Bible. You got an earthly program and a heavenly program. The body of Christ is the heavenly program that was a mystery, and it was before the foundation of the world. Now, the earthly program is Israel, and it's from the foundation of the world. Now, one reason why a lot of people get eternal security mixed up and stuff like that, and they think we're mixing this up, is because what's happening is they're not rightly dividing their Bible, which I'm going to try to do better to teach y'all as I go along. I hope we're here another 50 years together, or until the Lord comes to get us, because I'm realizing the further I get along, I talk to other preachers, and we listen to testimonies. Oh, Lord, it'll scare you to death listening to some of these testimonies people give you. Some of them, and I don't know how far I can go with this, but some people, you ask them, we'll give them your testimony of salvation, they'll say, well, you don't know how many Baptist pastors are in our family. What does that got to do with anything? The Baptists are just crazy as anybody, anybody else. Yeah, I mean, you get this thing, and look, and I say that knowing full well who I'm talking to. But y'all, people say, well, I'm a Baptist. Okay, well, are you a free will Baptist? Are you a primitive Baptist? Are you a hard shell Baptist? Are you, you Southern Baptist? Are you independent Baptist? There's all kinds of stuff. You can't. That's why the best thing is somebody asks you, you know, okay, what are you? I'm a saved believer. I believe the Bible and I'm saved. Why? If you start connecting yourself with all this stuff, they don't know. You connect yourself with Jesus Christ.
I see it.
It's scary to get connecting yourself with all this stuff. Y'all, I'm telling you, you can't worship religion.
No, sir.
Because you know what we're reading about right here? Organized religion. Mystery of Babylon is an organized, beautiful religion. You know what people do? Well, you can tell them about church, and I'm about to go over this in just a second, but I'm chasing this rabbit for a second. You're talking to them. Oh, first, how many people go in your church? Mm-hmm. What's that matter? Mm-hmm. If the Lord's there, what does it matter if four or five's there? Mm-hmm. Well, what all y'all got? Do y'all got basketball for the kids? Have y'all got... Look, you know what we got for the kids? We got Bible.
Amen.
If they want to go get basketball, they can go down to a gym somewhere and play basketball. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. His kid won't get out here. We play with these kids and we have stuff. But that's not the focus. That's religion. How can we get them in? How can we get them in? I get so tired of that stuff. I said, man, what about sound doctrine where these kids can get some sound doctrine and go out and apply it to their daily life? That's why whenever they go play basketball and one of these other kids tells them something crazy, they got enough Bible in them to discern good from bad, right from wrong, up from down, left from right. It's not about games. That's religion. Okay, so you get over here and you see these two programs here, and this is all going to be connected. All right, Romans 16 first. Look at verse number 25. It says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, gave the Apostle Paul the revelation of the mystery of the gospel, the grace of God. How that Christ was, he died and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that's how you get saved. Now look, when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking around in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he wasn't walking around saying, I died, I was buried, and I rose again the third day.
Right.
He hadn't died, he hadn't been buried, he hadn't rose again the third day. They didn't know that yet. So you know it now.
Right.
All right, so that's why he says, my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, what? It's a different thing. It's not the earthly program, not earthly Jesus right here in the gospels and things, because they didn't know what we know now that we have a revelation of the mystery. Okay, he says this, which was kept secret. Now watch this, since the world began. So this whole thing, ever since the world began, from the foundation of this thing, this what we know right here was kept secret back here.
That's right.
Paul didn't meet the Lord to Acts 9, and people are trying to read. They try to read Paul back into this when all this is going on. Paul hadn't been saved yet. Paul didn't know the Lord yet. I'm trying to tell you this because y'all, it's so crucial.
Right.
People get back in here and they'll say, well, Saul, you know, the Spirit departed from Saul. That ain't got nothing to do with us. This hadn't even happened yet.
Right.
Well, over here they're doing this. They're keeping the Sabbath. Ain't got nothing to do with us. We're right here.
That's right.
You can't get these programs mixed up. You can't get an earthly program. Well, you know, we're just going to feel it, you know, and get the power of God, and it's going to come upon us. That's their program back here when they're fighting battles for our earthly kingdom. You need spiritual help and spiritual power from God. Not fleshly.
That's right.
It's the flesh. It's the flesh. They didn't have what we've got. We'll go over some of that in the sermon. Now look at Acts 3, and then we'll look at these books here. Because you got to remember, it said the book from the foundation of the world. Look at Acts chapter number 3. This is Simon Peter preaching a earthly, physical, visible, Davidic, prophesied kingdom that was to come, which they rejected in Acts 7 ultimately. But watch. Repent in Acts 3 verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Now hold on, I got to chase another rabbit. Colossians tells you that your sins are already blotted out at Calvary. Once you trust Christ, He blotted those sins out.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. It says out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now what's going to happen when that happens? And He shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets. Watch this. Since the world began. That's from the foundation of the world. You find that thing. The world began at Genesis chapter 3. Remember they fell over there in the garden. And He said the whole verse over in Genesis 3:15 about the seed of the woman versus the seed of the serpent. And you got that thing going on right there. That's from the foundation of the world. But during all that stuff, this right here was not made known. Now, whenever you read about people that are in a book from the foundation of the world, you need to know something about these two different programs. Let me show you something. Look at Psalm 69. I'll try to write these down. And I want you to see this thing. And once you get this, I think it'll not only help you, but I think it'll be a blessing to you. I'm going to write this down in green. Psalm 69. I want you to see this. All right. It says in verse number... I'm going to start verse number 27 just for some context. It says, add iniquity unto their iniquity and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out. Remember that phrase right there. Blotted out of the book of the living and not written with the righteous. So you got this book of the living right here. Book of the living. Because they're alive. That's life. All right. It's the book of the living. They're alive. It's life. Okay. Now, so when somebody's born, you get people that whenever they're born, they're obviously written in the book of the living, because people who are alive, because you know they're written in there because they could be blotted out. All right. Now take your Bible and probably let's just go back to Revelation. And let's look at Revelation chapter number, I think it was in 17. And look at, that verse 8. And it says, and they, in the middle of the verse, and they wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Okay, so these are people in this program, because we're reading Revelation. And that's in the prophecy program. And it says they're written in this book of the living from the foundation of the world. You got to remember that. So they're alive. They're written in this thing. He said, let them not be written. What could happen? Now take your Bible and look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5. Verse number 5. Try to write these down as I come to them here. All right. So in Revelation 3 and verse number 5, it says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So it's a book of life, because you're written in with the living whenever they're alive. So okay, you're alive, here's a book. All right, and it's the book of living, book of life. But the only problem is, in this program, they can be blotted out.
That's right.
Why? He's there, and he just blots out that thing. Okay, now take your Bible And look over here at Revelation. And I'm kind of going off the top of my head here because I didn't write all this down. Look at Revelation chapter number... let's see. I'm going to have to pick my Bible up and look at it. There's another one. It's the Book of Life of the Lamb. I'll tell you what we'll do while I'm looking for that. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Chapter 20. And I'll find that other verse in just a second. Because it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. At one, yeah, I found it. It was 21:27. We'll look at that in just a minute. Okay, Revelation 20. And if you look at verse number 12. You need to see, because man, I think this is going to be a Lord, I hope. All right, verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books," okay, it's not just one, it's books, "were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life." Living, life, they're alive. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So there's books there. And if you're not written in the right book, guess what's going to happen? They will be, people who go through this right here, they will be judged by their works. I'm glad I'm not going to have to be judged by my works. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ did all, He did all the works that you need to do. That's why He said it's finished on the cross. It's called the work of the cross. You need that. I look, that's one reason why I don't want nobody to go through this right here. You imagine going to hell and your level of punishment being based on works, what you did. Okay, now watch what it says. Verse number 13, "And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire." Now why was he not found in the book of, written in the book of life? Because his name was blotted out. So when they're born, they're written in the book of the living or the book of life, but they can be blotted out, and that, look, the books have to reconcile. Look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. And verse number 27. It says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So you know, once you put all these things together, these people that's in this program, they're going to be born. They'll be written in the book of life, the book of a living. But if they don't overcome or they don't believe, they can be blotted out. But what happens is whenever they die a believer, you know what's happened? They're written in the book of life and they're written in the Lamb's book of life, and the books are reconciled. But let me tell you something that you've got. You know, it kept saying the book from the foundation of the world.
Right.
Now,
right.
Turn your Bible now and look at Ephesians chapter 1.
Right.
Let me tell you something. You can't just go in this Bible and just willy-nilly say, "Well, I'm just going to apply everything I want to myself. Every promise in the book is mine. Every verse, every chapter, every line." You can't do that. Why? Because there's different programs. And look, I'm not going to be living here all that long. That's like right now, I'm 40 years old. I may have, I hope I lived 100. But y'all, that's just a blip in time. This dispensation will be over. You got to realize there was Bible going on way before I ever got here, and there's going to be Bible and verses that apply to people way after I'm gone.
That's right.
Because the Bible is not only about me and our progress. It's enough. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. So you got to take what's yours for you, and the mail is directly addressed to you. Otherwise, it'll mess you up. Ephesians chapter 1, watch this. I'm going to start in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." I'm already blessed. We're at in heavenly places.
That's right.
Now, I'm not looking for earthly blessings. I got heavenly blessings. Well, watch this. "According as He hath chosen us in Him." You're not chosen till you're in Him, and you don't get in Him till you trust the gospel.
That's right.
Okay, this is not, you're chosen to salvation, he chooses this and don't choose that. No, you're chosen because Christ is the chosen, Christ is the elect, and once you get in him through the gospel, all those blessings that apply to him apply to you because you're in him. Watch this. Before the foundation of the world. Now watch, I'm going to stop there because we can be holy because he's holy. All this right here had to do, we was reading, it said these books were from the foundation of the world. Israel's program is from the foundation of the world. Now, I know it's in Philippians. I want to say it's Philippians 3. But if one of y'all knows where that verse is where Paul said we're written in heaven, I think it's chapter number 3, if I had to guess. If somebody may want to look it up. But he talks about us. Who are, it may be chapter 4, but I want you to see this thing. And I'll try to tie this together best I can. But does anybody know where that verse is over in Philippians? I can look it up on my Alexander Scorby app. But I want you to see this so you'll have it. This thing helps me out a lot. I can just look it right up. I say that. I thought I could. Does anybody know where it is in Philippians? Paul talks about those of us who are written in heaven in Philippians. We're in the book. Well. It's in Philippians. I'll find it. But what I'm trying to say is the Lamb's Book of Life, when you trust the gospel, it's the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Bible said you're in Him. So guess what? Talking about being written in heaven, if you're in Christ, you're better than written in heaven. Why? He's the one that wrote the book, and you're in the one. You're joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that wrote the book. So guess what? That's why you can't be blotted out.
That's right.
Once you trust the gospel, there's nothing that you can do that affects your salvation. And the reason why is because your flesh is no longer joined to your soul anyway. That's the operation of God. That's because I want to remind y'all this. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that you are a soul. And you are a spirit. Hold on, I got that wrong. It says spirit, soul, and body. That's spirit's supposed to be first. I don't want to quote that wrong. And then your body. Alright. So this is how come somebody's body can be dead. Y'all remember Lazarus, his body was dead. But the spirit can be joined to God. And his soul body was in paradise down there. There's three parts. All right, well, here it is. The rich man looks over and he still sees Lazarus. What is it? It's he's seeing his soul. But on the inside of you, there is a part that's the real you's on the inside of you. You're not just your body. When this body dies off, it's more than what you think this thing is. Now, what's that? Whenever you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, in my flesh... Paul said in Romans 7, that is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So Colossians 2, the operation of God is, he cuts this away through the operation of God. He cuts the body away from the soul and the spirit so that the sins of your body no longer touch your soul. That's why it says your soul is saved. When the Father looks down and sees you, he looks down and sees the fact that your soul is washed in the blood.
Amen.
He looks down and sees that your soul is saved.
That's right.
That's why I can say I'm saved, because look, if I couldn't, if my sins from my body touched this right here, I'd be in a mess.
That's right.
Now, they got a different thing in this Old Testament and under their program. That's why they don't have the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Right. The body of Christ has the sealing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So that's what you have to make sure you know, because if not, you'll mix these two programs up. You can't be blotted out.
That's right.
And man, that's a blessing to me, because I can tell you something. If it was up to me, I'll tell you right quick, I'd lose it.
Yes.
So that's part of that. And I want you to see that as we're going through Revelation, because it talks about the book of life of the Lamb. So you've got people today And they'll say, well, you believe in eternal security. Look, the Bible teaches it. And without it, you couldn't be joined right now. I'm joined to Christ. Why? Because my sins and my flesh don't touch my soul.
Yeah.
All right, now we'll move on with that. If you have any questions, we can talk about it. But now in verse number 9, it says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. So God will give you wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. So in the Bible, mountains are kingdoms. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 51. Jeremiah 51 and verse number 25. Jeremiah 51 and verse 25. Probably a pretty good little reference here to that. here's a kingdom. Has to do with Babylon. So in verse number 24 for context, and I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion. In your sight, saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain. So this king over this kingdom is called a destroying mountain. And in Daniel chapter 2, the Lord's kingdom is likened to a mountain. It's strong. It's all kinds of things that go there. But you have that. And I just wanted you to see a good reference there. He's called a destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth. And I will stretch out mine hand upon thee and roll thee down from the rocks and will make thee a burnt mountain. Okay, well, he's going to burn up Babylon later on in Revelation. So when you get here, these seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, she is up there. The kingdoms are carrying this mystery religion, which is it originated in Genesis 11 with all false religion. And so what's happening is these kingdoms are carrying her, but she's controlling the kingdoms through her religious system. And that's you can see the start of that stuff today. The Bible says the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Y'all, this world is controlled, I don't care what people say, by religion. Religion, people, you know, they believe this, they believe this other thing and stuff, and none of it's based on the Bible. They'll give you a little bit of Bible truth, and, you know, they'll come in here, and they got a couple things that they see. Okay, I see this is right and this is right. You got to take the whole Bible or none of it. And the thing that you get is now is moralistic. It's all just a moralistic, make you feel good thing instead of believing the doctrine of the Bible. And that's why things have gone so haywire. So it says, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. So what he's saying is that eighth king that comes, he was of those seven. And when he dies, he comes back as the eighth when he comes back. And it says, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. That's not very, they don't have their power very long because they get destroyed, the Bible says, later on in 1 hour. Now, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, we talked about some of these things, and that's why I'm going through this kind of fast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, here's another verse that Calvinists will take this thing, and they'll come over here and come to this verse and say, see, they're called, they're chosen, they're faithful, and try to prove that, you know, God goes out here and he'll call this one, and then they're chosen, but they have to be faithful. No, they're called and chosen because they're faithful, and also, this is not our program. He's talking about martyrs who are faithful to God and they endure to the end. He's called them to a service, and whenever you're chosen to something, they're actually serving God. It never says they're called and chosen to salvation. They're faithful. They are called out.
Yes, sir.
And they're martyrs and they're chosen because they are the ones who are faithful to God.
That's right.
Now, you got free will. I'm going to tell you something. All through that Bible, it's free will is taught over and over and over again. And if you go past that, and I'm going to try to, Lord help me in the days ahead, get people got God where he's just doing things of this and doing things of this person, doing things of that person. No, you're living in a present evil world.
That's right.
And I know a lot of preachers, they'll mess all this stuff up and take this verse and take a fit and stuff. Look, you got free will to make your own choices during the day. And as you go through that right there, you're going to go through trouble, because this is a troublesome world. And it's the Bible says that it's full of trouble, so much so. Job even said, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. And you ever seen a spark want to go up and then it'll fizzle out and another? That's how troubles are. But the thing is you make free will choices. God can go through those things with you. And you can apply His Word to your life, okay, and you can get comfort from that relationship and things. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust.
Right.
And I've told you before, good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. That's just how this world works. But you can go through it with the Lord Jesus Christ going through it with you. And He'll help you mentally. But look, don't ever think God's going to always pull you out of all these things.
That's right.
Sometimes, I mean, the thing may work out, and that's a blessing. But y'all, our business is to love God and trust God no matter how it works out.
That's right.
Because God's not, a lot of times we'll pray, and prayer is good, but you have to be careful how you direct your prayer. We can pray for somebody to get saved, pray for somebody to get help, but God's not going to override their free will.
That's right.
He can allow things to come in their life and somebody witness to them and things like that and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. God is not going to come down there and say, okay, today you're going to be saved. No, He gives them free will to choose Him or not. That's like information. All you can do is tell people what the Bible says. And look, if they don't believe it, okay, just keep going on about your business. Don't even get mad about it. Why? Because if I ever get to the sowing and these parables later on, what Jesus is talking about, He's sending out His kingdom workers there to sow that gospel of the kingdom. And He says, man, only 1/4 of them is going to believe it anyway.
That's right.
But you go ahead and do it anyhow. You don't do it based on results. You do it because you love the Lord.
Amen.
That's like people coming to church and things like that. A preacher's not supposed to get mad at you if you don't believe these things. You know what you do? I'm just giving you information. If you think I'm crazy, okay, well, free to go somewhere else and do something else. But I'm not going to get mad at you. Wow, that is not right to do that. We get this thing in the world where it's so easy for this flesh. Well, if you don't believe like me, man, I tell. Well, just tell them what the book says and go on about your business and try to help who will let you help them. But as far as trying to sit there and force it in their mind, you can't do that. All right, you get over here and he says, in verse number 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So it tells you what was going on, this whole thing, verse number 1. It later tells you what happened. The problem with the Bible is people don't continue to read. Okay, so he tells you in verse number 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now, they turn on one another for one thing. They bite and devour each other. That's why Paul tells you over in Galatians, don't behave like it. But was it make her naked? Look at verse number 4 again. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. She had all these things. Okay, all that's going to be taken away from her. When they get what they want, they're just going to discard her. And later on, because all this, eat her flesh and things like that. When you get over here, when she's destroyed later on, and especially in verse 18 and 19, she's going to be turned over. And you know what? The Bible talks about how when the Lord comes back, all those birds eat all these dead people. The birds come back and eat the flesh. That's part of that. Now, you get this thing here and burn it with fire. All that stuff right there has to do also with the Lord's coming back and destroying every bit of that thing. Now, eventually you say, well, all this stuff's coming up and all this religion of the world and the world is just taking over the world. One of these days, God will take care of it. There's no need in really letting it bother you. Now watch this. Here's another verse. I don't know if we're going to have time to get into it, but it says, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, unto the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now, for quick reference, I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter number 14. Ezekiel 14, and I'll get into the part of John about the fulfill the will next Sunday probably. But I want you to see this thing here. He said, put in their hearts. Now, One thing, as you study the Bible about the Lord is not making them do it anymore. And he, you know, the Bible said, well, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. It says he, Pharaoh hardened his heart first, so he let him have his way. The flesh is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible talks about, you read Jeremiah and stuff, he'll let them have the fruit of their doings and things like that. Well, watch what happens. Ezekiel 14, it says, Son of man, verse 3, these men have set up their idols in their heart, watch this, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of all, should I be inquired of at all by them? Now, why is he saying they got a stumbling block in their heart? That's what it describes right here. So because they got a stumbling block of their heart, watch what happens. Verse 4, therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him, watch this, that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. You know what happens? People say, well, I just don't believe this way, I don't believe that way. And you know what happened? They'll have an idol in their heart. And they'll come to God through a false way. And God says, I'll just answer you according to the idol. That's what you wanted anyway. That's the answer you wanted anyhow. You know what some people, they'll have their idea about something about God. And they'll have and instead of going by what God's Word says, they'll come through that idol. And God says, okay, if that's what you want, God's not going to force you to believe the way He wants you to believe. And He'll say, okay, if you want that answer, I will allow you to have that answer. That's how all these people get deceived. Watch verse number 9. In verse number 9 it says, and if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, hath deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. He said, I've deceived. How is he doing? He allows him to get what he wants. And, you know, we read 1 Kings 22 several times together when all those false prophets come up before the Lord and they say, the Lord says, okay, who's going to deceive Ahab? And this one says, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And says, okay, go. That's what the whole time God sent Micaiah and he said, tell them the truth. Tell them, and none of them wanted the truth. And the Lord said, they don't want the truth. I'm going to answer them out of the out. Why? Because they want to go by their own humanistic idea and their own thoughts and their own how they was raised and all this stuff instead of my word. And he said, well, just go do that and they'll be deceived. And guess what? They'll have an idol in their heart, and the more truth they hear, the madder they'll get. Well, that's just how that thing goes. That's why a lot of times, y'all, you can't get mad because somebody gets mad about the truth and they say, well, I just don't believe that anyway. You just got to look at them and say, look, only God can see that heart and something's in there blocking that thing. And you know what happens? People will just believe a lie because you know what? This flesh is prone to extremes and the flesh wants to believe what it wants to believe. That's why if you don't go by the Bible, you will go by your own humanistic opinions. And that's a scary thing because I want to go by the Bible. I know God knows more than I do. The Bible says His thoughts are above my thoughts, His ways above my ways. Now, if I go by His ways, that's going to be better than my own. And thank the Lord for that. So maybe that's a help. I know people are about to come in here in a minute. Brother Mike, if you would close us out.
Lord, again, the Lord, to come to you, Lord.